including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
The USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call.
Asking you
drive
to
your
call.
Chevrolet through the USA.
America is asking you to call. We're asking you to call Johnny Londoff. There's another phone number in my head that is similar to his, and every time I start to give his number, I stop and think, is it this number or that other number? That should, his is 314-837-1800. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
And I have another advertiser, one number different. I don't remember if it's an advertiser, but for whatever reason, it's a number I call every once in a while. You don't want to make a mistake. And if you have ever any questions, go to the website. It's a great website, by the way, Londoff.com. I don't visit a lot of websites. And to just be perfectly honest, I had not looked at Johnny Londoff's website for years. And for some reason, I know what it was. It was the new Equinox. I wanted to see how many they had. And I went there and never expected to see what I saw. This is one of the slickest websites I've ever seen. Londoff.com. It is really well done. But you can't have a successful dealership just by having a great website. After they visit that website, eventually they're going to want to come in and see you or any one of the over 100 people who work there. Well, not any one of them, because a lot of those people are in service or upstairs in the office, but any of the salespeople. And then you're going to see the real magic and see why this is the place where when people go there, they notice right away it's not a typical car buying experience, because unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the car business who don't know how to treat people. They don't. I remember years ago, a friend of my wife was looking at when they had the Trailblazer. And she told my wife that when she was at the dealership, she picked out the color she wanted. This wasn't Londoff. And I didn't know John Londoff when this happened, so I didn't really know where to send her. But she said she picked out the color. They found on the lot the options exactly what she wanted. And she said, I like that one. And the salesman said to her, well, go home, get your husband, and come on back in here, and let's make this deal. And they lost the deal right there. And by the way, she made more money than her husband. She had always bought her own car, and they blew the deal by insulting her by telling her to go get her husband. And you think, well, it must have been years ago. No, it wasn't that many years ago, and it still happens today. So here's the deal at Londoff. Kind of like going to the dentist, in the sense that there are lots of people, and I've met many of them, who, when the subject of car buying comes up, oh, I can't stand buying a car. There's nothing I dread more than going through that experience of buying a car. I can't even imagine that. But first of all, I'm sick. I'm weird. I love cars, and I love buying cars, and I have for years. But I do understand it, because I've been in dealerships where I don't know what the name for it is, but whoever's up next, is it called an up? Dan, you sold cars, you're up. They tell a salesman, yep. Meaning the next person that walks in is yours.
Next up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I never sold cars, but you walk in and then this person just basically attacks you before you can get in the door, and they're all over you, and they want to make a sale, no matter what. And sometimes they will steer you away from what you were looking for to try to get. Forget all that. I understand why a lot of people don't like to buy a car, so I'd ask you to do this. Next time, include Johnny Londoff. And I think the only people listening who get a pass and who are exceptions and go, well, okay, go somewhere else, is if you're looking for a Bentley, a new Bentley, they can't help you. And even if you're looking at a Ford or a Chrysler product, they probably have a comparable or even better vehicle that Chevy makes. So before you make the decision, make sure you're familiar with everything they have to offer and give them a shot at your business. That's all we ask. You know where they are? The Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County. And that website is pretty slick. Check that out. Visit that. Access to that anytime. Landoff.com.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's go.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
I'm talking a little movies and TV shows. There's a movie coming out Friday that I read an article about this morning. That will be one of the things. Mr. Buffo said he had not seen it yet out in the hallway, but we'll talk about it anyway because it does open Friday. Here to talk about that and a whole lot more. It's on your TV at home and on the movie screens. Oh, quickly, the number, if you have a question for Dan or a suggestion of something to watch that you found on Netflix, Amazon, it doesn't matter. If it's TV or movie related, we'll kick it around. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Give it up, if you would, please, for Dan Buffa.
Thank you.
You're so proud. We love you.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Fired up today.
Every Tuesday, it just pumps me up.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a little hot outside, but not as bad as yesterday.
We'll start with two things. One of them is the movie I was talking about is Blinded by the Light, yep, based on the music of Bruce Springsteen.
It's the latest musician movie, which is pretty hot right now. Queen, and you had Elton John. I finally saw Rocket Man this week, by the way.
You had never seen it?
Well, because the Blues were doing their Stanley Cup thing, and right, when it came out in May, I missed the screening, and of course, when you're a film critic, if it's come out the week before, you're already staring straight ahead. So it's hard to go back. I liked it. I didn't love it. My wife loved it.
See, I didn't love it, but I liked it.
I liked it. I think it was, I thought it was a little dense. It was a little bit uneven. I'm not a big fan of musicals, so that was why.
Yeah, that's the part I didn't like. I didn't expect that.
They break out into song in the first scene. Like, okay, so this is how this is going to go. But Taron, he played in King's Man.
Egerton, is it?
Egerton. He was phenomenal.
Oh, no. He became, look.
Looking-wise, just look in the way he sang. I was impressed by he was able to sing Elton John songs.
The name escaped me. The guy that played Ray Charles.
Jamie Foxx.
He became Ray Charles.
Yeah.
And the Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Rami Malek,
became Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
And you're right. This guy, after a few minutes, you forget you're not watching Elton John.
Because it starts out, he comes into that little, alcohol anonymous kind of meeting. He's an alcoholic, he's a drug addict. And I didn't really know that about him. I knew that he had some problems. I didn't know how bad it got with Elton John.
Oh, yeah, he's talked about, I've seen multiple interviews.
Jamie Bell was good as Barney.
Yeah, or Bernie Taupin.
He was great. And Jamie Bell is a good actor. And Bryce Dallas Howard playing his mom, she was real.
Yeah. She's hot.
And Limey, she put on a pretty good British accent for being Ron Howard's daughter. Not bad.
So that's old news. Now, this Blinded by the Light that comes out Friday. Obviously, you haven't seen that.
I have not.
Well, here's what it did for me, and I haven't even seen it yet. I read an article on it this morning. When I read, the guy who wrote it, put it together, has been to 150 Springsteen concerts. Wow. Started in the 80s. He lived in Great Britain, I believe.
Wow.
And is that right? He lived in Great Britain. Do you know the Blinded by the Light guy?
Yeah. Ripped up like a noose.
There's three writers. Paul Burgess, is that the guy?
No.
No. Sarfraz Manzor.
Put it this way. It's based on the story of this guy, and I think the guy went
1987. Yeah,
went to 150 concerts, and so I read it, and I was so interested in what he said about his life and how Bruce Springsteen's songs seemed like they were talking about his life and his family that I actually went and listened to some Springsteen songs. Specifically the ones that he referenced. And I got to tell you something. All these years, I think I have missed some pretty brilliant writing and lyrics because he is a brilliant storyteller in his songs.
And
one of the things this guy said was, he said, and I don't remember the song, but he said it sounded just like he lived in our house. Everything he said about... His dad was my dad. Everything he said about wanting to get out of here, this dump, that was my house.
Yeah, he was a classic singer-songwriter.
Yeah, so he really does have a way to connect with people.
And those songs, they hold up over the years. I mean,
the message doesn't get old.
I mean, I've always liked Bruce Springsteen by himself, not really with the E Street Band. I think he's just a great solo artist. Him and a guitar. There's a street song called Atlantic City, which is just great. It's just him talking about a day in the life of what he did growing up in New Jersey. And I just think that, yeah, I mean, he's great. And I think this is a big time. You're going to see a lot of these movies. I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody started it. You got it with Rocket Man. You're going to have, now it's Blinded by the Light. You're going to have more. I mean, all these famous bands. I mean, I wouldn't expect the Beatles movie here in the next 2 years.
I just want to know how long it's really going to go. And technically, we kind of have had a Beatles one with Yesterday.
You're right.
That's
yeah.
the one who kind of like throw out all of their music.
That's a good riff.
They're really, after the overwhelming
Stones,
success.
Maybe the Stones?
Definitely.
We need the Stones movie.
All of them owe all of these movie theory or these genres to Bohemian Rhapsody. Without the overwhelming success of that, I don't think you would have all those that you got now.
I actually look back and watch that grossed over $200 million. $216 million Bohemian Rhapsody made. That was a lot of money.
I don't understand how somebody can go. Bruce Springsteen puts on a concert that usually lasts over 3 hours.
Right.
That's what he's going for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand why somebody would want to do that 150 times in their life and not get sick of it. I mean, you could give me the hottest porn star that's ever walked the face of the earth. I think after like 142, I'd be like, this has been fun. I mean,
150.
Well, here's one of the things he said, though. He said, you can go to a Springsteen concert, go again the next night, and it's not the same concert. He changes it up, because if it were exactly the same, okay, here's the rundown.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
That'd get old.
All right, maybe 15.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
But eventually, that set list is going to get very, very, very similar.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Look, that's a different person who can do. I could never go.
And Dan Buffa knows this as well as anybody. The Dave Matthews Band, they change the set list every time that they play.
And they have to drag Dave Matthews off that stage too. I mean, I think they start the bus and tell him, "Hey, Dave, we're leaving."
Yeah. So Springsteen's similar to that too.
Yeah, and then one last thing. One of the songs I listened to was. And it's a ballad, and it's just him on the guitar and the little harmonica. It's called My Father's House.
It's good stuff.
And it's lyrics you can actually understand. Some of Springsteen's stuff, like Dan mentioned, what was it?
10th Avenue Freeze Out.
Yeah, that's I can't understand all the lyrics. My Father's House is just a soft ballad. and I listened to it, and I thought, my goodness, this guy has some great insight into life. He just does. And do you know My Father's House? You know what the song's about?
I do, yeah. I haven't listened to it, but I have a couple of his older albums, and that one, it is one of those things where you're just picturing it.
It makes you think.
It does, and it also makes you think about your childhood.
It does. It's about him. In the song, he had a dream that he's in a storm, and he's run through the forest, the woods. And it's like the devil's chased him. He's trying to get away from the thick brush and the storm and the rain.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's in a clearing, and there in front of him is his father's house. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm safe. I'll run to the house. He gets there, and a woman answers the door and says, nobody by that name lives here. He had waited so long in his life to connect with his father. His dad didn't live there anymore. And it's just a great message there. So that comes out this Friday, and once you see it, we'll talk more about that. There was one other. Oh! Tell them about your take on The Kitchen. My wife and I went to see The Kitchen last weekend.
That's first up.
What a waste of money.
Okay, so there's a story attached to this. Can I tell a story before I review the movie? Okay, so I leave. Usually I watch a movie on Tuesday nights. I leave here, and I go over next door to the brew house, have a couple beers, and at 7 p.m. screening. And last week I thought to myself, this movie could really stink, or it could be good. And I had a chance.
And you're right.
I had a chance to go hang out with my dad, which I do often. We go get beers. We have good times. And I was like, Dad or The Kitchen? And I chose The Kitchen. I chose wrong. This movie is bad. I mean, this is the movie where you almost want to go back in time and get that hour and a half back.
Yeah.
I mean, it is basically, it's a story. It's like a parody. It's a fun, unintentional comedy version of last year's Widows. There's a movie called Widows last year. Viola Davis, Michelle Rodriguez, their husbands were killed. They were criminals. They were killed in this heist gone wrong. They took over their criminal business. Similar here, was it late 70s?
Hell's Kitchen. 78,
Hell's Kitchen. Melissa McCarthy, Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men,
right.
And Tiffany Haddish, who is just a very funny comedian at the moment. She was in a movie called Girls Trip. They play the wives of husbands who have been sent to jail. And they basically want to take over their business because they have no other source of income. They don't have schooling. They can't get a job. And the setup is not bad. And
well, the idea is
the
great.
Idea and is good.
That's what sucked us into going. I thought, wow, what a great
it's
concept.
It's just where they really, it's a very serious movie. And the writer-director, this is her first movie. She owns an Oscar nomination for Straight Outta Compton, the story of Dr. Dre and Ice Cube. She's a good writer, but this movie
stinks.
It's so serious.
So
the acting, and Melissa McCarthy was really good in Can You Ever Forgive Me last year, playing Lee Israel. She was great. She surprised me because I'm not a big fan of hers. Elizabeth Moss is a good actress, but she is just bad here. Everybody's acting is so bad.
You cannot act away bad writing.
You can't.
I don't care who you are.
It is bad writing. And coming from an Oscar-nominated screenwriter, this is surprising. But this is the movie where you could have leaned in a direction, like we were saying off the air, of being funny. Because you have two comedy actors,
yeah.
In McCarthy and Haddish.
Right.
But they just go, Tiffany Haddish, there is a scene where she's acting with McCarthy. And it's almost like I had to stop laughing. Nobody else in the theater is laughing. I'm sitting there cracking up because her line reading, her dialogue reading is so bad.
Well,
it's like, are you being serious?
I like a movie where you actually almost wonder if they're acting or if this is really happening.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in this movie that's believable. Believability, I guess,
no,
the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
When you walk out going, whoo, you know what? That actually could have really happened. No, nothing in this movie seems real.
There's a scene towards the end where one of the wives, her husband's being held captive. And right in a moment, she just goes, okay, kill him. And it's just like, wait a minute. Whoa, hey, this is a big movement. And it's just like with one snap of the finger, she makes this decision. It's almost like, you want to laugh at it, but you go, I don't think the writer-director really wanted you to laugh.
To my wife's credit, when I said, let's go to a movie, she said, I don't think there's anything good. I said, how about this kitchen, The Kitchen? And she didn't say anything.
The poster looked pretty good. The trailer looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And when you went in there, you're half an hour in, I was thinking, if I was in press, this is an honest thing, ladies and gentlemen, if I have never left a press screening in 7 years. I've wanted to at times, but this is one where I was like, if I wasn't press and I was just one of these people who got free passes.
Well, I don't think you can do a legitimate review if you don't stay through the whole movie.
No, you can't. And so that's why I stay. But if I was just a regular moviegoer, I would have been gone.
No.
I mean, I would have just said, Dad,
pathetic.
Where are you at? I'm coming.
Let's just get The Kitchen. Let's get it out of the way. How many ARDs?
One.
Yeah.
And
one.
That's being very generous.
I think you're being extremely generous.
Let's go.
All right, Dan.
That's it.
Wow.
Next.
Now, again, I think I'm doing this a lot more lately, telling you to stay home and watch stuff instead of go to the theater.
Well, there's good reason to. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and there's I previewed, kind of teased it a little bit. Limey and I were talking about it. The Boys is on Amazon Prime. Now, Frank, you don't like superhero movies.
No.
Well, this is the show for you because they take that genre and they flip it on its head. This is an original thing. In this world, superheroes are corporate brands. They are money-hungry, soulless, bad people.
Mm-hmm.
So in this one, you have a group called The Seven. This is based on a comic book series that was released 8 years ago by two gentlemen. And it's basically kind of a riff on Justice League. You have a guy who's like Superman. His name's Homelander. They are part of this corporation that makes movies, that makes action figures. And what they tell the public is that they are just these proud superheroes. Behind the scenes, they are soulless, mean people.
They're evil.
And they actually commit murder, and they get away with bad things. And the title of the series is a group of vigilantes who goes after the superheroes to take them down, to kind of balance it out, because they are using their power, which you'll find out why they have. in a bad way. Carl Urban, who played it in the rebooted Star Trek series, he's really good. He played Doctor. What's the Doctor's name in Star Trek? He's great.
I've never seen Star Trek.
Yes, he played. He plays Bones. Thank you, Tim.
Kildare.
He is an Anthony Starr who people will know from a very underwatched but great Cinemax series called Banshee. He plays Homelander, this riff on Superman and Captain America, who to the public is this great superhero, but he is a mean person behind the scenes. He commits murder. There is a scene, Frank, in this series where two of the heroes go to this plane, and they stop a terrorist attack. Yeah. They kill the terrorist. But then when they go to the cockpit, there's two terrorists there, and they kill them, but they disable the plane, and it's going into the ocean. He tells the other superhero, we need to get off this plane. She goes, wait, there's 123 people on this plane. He goes, we can't save them. We got to go. And so what normally you would see is somehow he would lift up the plane.
Yeah, you know, you see Superman fly underneath it, and he just manages to carry
this is,
it.
This is a direct riff on
it
that.
Is.
He just tells the woman who's called Queen Maeve. She's kind of like the Wonder Woman of this group.
Yeah.
He tells her, we got to go. And he's just cutthroat about it. There's wives, there's kids, there's old people. They're pulling on these heroes going, don't leave us. And they fly off. And they're sitting in the sky watching this plane just descend.
So is this a comedy?
No.
It is a dark satire. Yeah. It's like superhero satire.
Okay.
I mean, when I watched it, first thing is I like the actors in it. Carl Urban is one of those faces. You'll see him, you'll know who he is. Anthony Starr is kind of one of these underused actors. Elizabeth Shue, who is in Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage, she plays the evil head the lead of this empire. She doesn't care. She tells.
I'll tell you something you didn't know about Elizabeth Shue.
What's that?
Her family owns a chain of upscale resorts, Sandals. They own.
God.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh,
yeah, but
her mother's last name Hubbard.
Old Mother Hubbard.
Bigger than a shoe.
Oh man!
Just turn my mic.
Tim
off.
Was going there. He was going.
Whoa!
Did old Mother Hubbard live in a cup?
Ape reference.
She lived in a cup.
He didn't get no,
she lived in a shoe.
He didn't get it. You know,
he didn't get
He didn't get my Shaka Khan reference last time.
No,
either.
I did.
I got it. That. It just wasn't.
What was that comedian?
No, Old Mother Hubbard.
Steve?
No, wait a second.
Yeah,
no, she
Hubbard
did live in the cupboard. You're right.
No,
yeah.
Old. No.
There wasn't a lady who lived in the shoe. She had so many children. But Old Mother Hubbard. No,
oh, yeah.
No, went, no, no, went to the cupboard. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, Old Mother Hubbard.
Was bare.
But she did not live in a shoe.
No, the lady that lived in a shoe had so many kids. Her uterus fell out.
Oh,
Andrew Dice Clay.
That's pretty good.
Andrew Dice Clay.
That's pretty good.
But, Tim, I'm sorry. She did not live in a shoe.
My bad.
She just went to the cupboard.
Wow.
Dan, when you see me do when you look over and see what I'm about to do, don't freak out thinking, oh, my goodness, everybody will hear that. Because I had Gino come in earlier.
You're going to cut one.
And no.
He did.
And he put in a,
Gino.
Technical. A PTS.
Do I know this Gino?
He's
our engineer.
They put a PTS in for me. Now, for the lay people, not in radio, paper tearing suppressor. So I can tear paper and you won't hear it.
Oh,
so don't worry if you see me tear.
Noise suppressor.
Yeah. Well, in this case, it senses, it knows the sound of paper tearing. It cuts it right out.
Before you do it.
Oh, as soon as it starts.
Oh, wow.
It's like voice activated anything. So you won't hear. Yeah, you won't hear anything. So don't worry. But
I saw you tear it, but I didn't hear it.
No, I
didn't
tore
hear
it.
A thing, and I'm sitting right next.
Thank you, Gino. Once again,
nice
work.
Excellent
perfectly.
Work.
Yeah. ARDs for this. Oh no, this is an Amazon Prime.
This is Amazon Prime. Yeah, I mean, I really think it's got again 8 episodes, not 13 like Netflix series. 8 episodes, and the thing is, you know, even if you and this is something you don't have to watch or know a thing about it because it's made up, but it's just it's making fun of all the super serious superhero Marvel, DC, they have so much fun because here the heroes are the bad guys.
Is it a series or is it one?
It's a series, and there's filming season 2 right now.
Right.
So
see, every once in a while, I want to go watch something where it's just one. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like if I like it, I know. Oh my God. Okay, now I like it so much, I've got to keep watching, and I just sometimes want to watch for an hour and a half or 2 hours something, But this is a
but for this one, yeah, I mean, you have 8 episodes, not 12, not 15, and then the new ones won't be out till next year. It is something where...
Is everyone independent of the others? In other words, can you watch 2 and not have to have seen 1? Is it a continuous story?
It's a continuous story. So you have these vigilantes called the Boys. They're going after these corrupt superheroes. And again, you don't have to like any. You don't have to know any of the actors. You don't have to know the story. I turned on episode 1. Of course, one of the stars of the series is the son of Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid, Jack Quaid. And in the first 5 minutes, his girlfriend is murdered by a superhero. He runs through her. It's kind of like a variation on The Flash. He's holding her basically cut off hands in his hands, going, "What just happened?" So that basically kicks off the series. So he wants revenge, and he tracks down this group that goes after him. Basically, kind of so whatever you think or know about superheroes, this takes it and flips it. I mean,
what if you don't know anything about them, like me?
Then I think you're going to like it.
You're going to like it.
Instead of them being these wonderful, like, beacons of
good
hope.
And bad.
They're selfish.
Exactly. You get to see sexual harassment.
They are selfish.
They're evil. They're just downright rude. They're full of themselves.
I mean, you have a guy who's kind of a dim-witted idiot.
By the way, this is a great idea. Somebody with superpowers who uses them just for himself.
Yeah,
doesn't help anybody. That's great.
Like, you have a riff on Aquaman. This guy is dumb. He talks to the lobster at the grocery store. Yeah. He's like, "I know, buddy. I know what you're going through." It's done for laughs.
It really is.
Okay.
I will check it out.
All right. It's called The Boys.
It's on Amazon Prime, which apparently has like 80 things to watch.
If there is anybody out there who watches Yellowstone, who did not see last Wednesday nights, let me tell you something. It's the best episode ever.
That's what I thought.
Wow.
And let me tell you, if you cannot handle a woman getting beat up on screen...
Don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
It is graphic, and they beat her
bad.
I'll
tell you what, if Kelly Riley gets nominated for an Emmy, which she should, her scene.
She absolutely should.
And I tell you what, Frank, I mean, this is kind of a spoiler if you haven't watched it. I thought there was a chance she was going to go.
I thought
there was a chance that maybe she would get wounded badly.
But then you start thinking, they cannot take her out of this series.
They can't take her, especially if there's a third season.
So that's just for you Yellowstone folks. We're going to dwell on it. It's Paramount.
Great.
Paramount Network. Last Wednesday nights. Unbelievable.
Once again, Cole Hauser, who plays Rip on that series, is so good.
Yep.
And I like the way they kind of foreshadowed something when they were talking on the roof. You know, you knew something was going to happen between them. But I don't know, that series, there's so much going on.
No, don't. You go too deep into stuff. Most people don't watch Yellowstone.
Leave it at that.
I remember
But
remember, most of the audience listening, on any given topic or movie or TV show, most people listening don't watch it.
They should. Limey's going to watch it now.
Now, did any of you watch the a TV show that's now over, Sons of Anarchy?
Yes.
Did you ever check that out?
Yes.
All right.
Charlie Hunnam.
AMC.
I didn't watch it, and I'm going to start, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to change that.
You won't be sorry.
Because I started watching the spin-off series, The Mayans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, Sons of Anarchy.
The lead actor on The Mayans is really good. The guy that... he's been in everything.
By the way, I'm glad you said that, because... If there's ever a time, and there are times on occasion where you go, "Well, next 2 hours, I don't know what to watch or what to do." Start watching Sons of Anarchy. I'm going to go back and watch it again. That good.
Because I found Mayans, I think the first season is on Hulu right now. It's out there to be streamed. And I just thought, you know what, I've got nothing to watch. Why not throw this on? I'm on the 6th episode already.
It's really good.
It gets
better and better.
I'll tell you what, you always talk about if you came back, reincarnate, you come back as Statham. I don't want to come back as Ron Perlman. He's a rough-looking dude.
Yeah. He's ugly. It's just tell it like this. Ron Perlman is an ugly... he's an ugly man. There are
ugly
people.
He looks like a dinosaur.
Yes.
I mean, really.
He does. He looks like a caveman who came back to life. There are people who are just flat-out ugly.
He walks up to Charlie Hunnam, who I think we'd all love to come back as, Jax Teller.
Yeah.
And then there's Ron Perlman going, like, "Oh, man, you guy could stop a train. He could stop a train."
All right, now, what's next?
You know what came back Sunday, Frank.
Succession.
Yes.
And here's I have Dish. I'm going to call Dish probably tomorrow And I'm just going to say, look, I pay a lot of money every month, a couple of $100 for just Dish. That doesn't include Amazon Prime. And I say, when I signed on with you, you had HBO and you had the local CBS affiliate, Channel 4. You don't have either one of those yet. Let's renegotiate this deal. Because I don't like not having HBO because of things like Succession. Now, I've got an app. I have to run that through the TV and watch it that way. Yeah. I don't like that.
I mean, and that's another show. There's two shows right now that I can't wait. I don't want them to end. I want the hour to go on.
Right.
Yellowstone and Succession.
Right.
I wanted this one to keep going. Because in this first episode of the second season, you have this family, which I describe as Game of Thrones without the swords.
Right.
These families just wanting to kill each other. I mean, Brian Cox, who plays the head of this media corporation.
They established, too, it's a very wealthy. It's like the Bush
very
family.
Wealthy.
Dynasty.
They basically own a corporation media network,
right.
and he's trying to name his successor.
Right.
And you have the troubling Kendall, who's been addicted to drugs. You have the Culkin sibling who plays Roman.
Well, that guy.
Who is just, he's me. Yeah. You know, when Kendall, he just makes fun of his brother, and he's like, why don't you fight back? And then you have Shiv, who is played by the most, I tell you what, I watch a series with Kelly Riley and whatever redhead plays Shiv on Succession. So now, Dave, did you watch the first episode?
No, because I would have if I had HBO. So I'll have to, when I feel like watching it on an iPad or putting that through the TV, I'll watch it because I like Succession. Here's the deal. If you watch, I don't care if it's Breaking Bad or Sons of Anarchy, when you watch an episode and you're actually mad that it's already over, you know you're into something because that's how I feel about Ozark, Succession, Breaking Bad. Every time it ended, I would, and that's when you stay up till 3 o'clock because you can't stop watching them.
But the good news is, there's more Ozark to come. Breaking Bad's done, so you at least got half the battle.
I can't wait for the new Ozark.
See, there's a different pleasure though. I know when the series is over with, I know there's an end game. For me, it's like when I know, okay, so there's going to be 16 more released at the end of the month. Okay, then I have to hustle.
Here's what's starting to be tough. There are so many platforms now. I forget who's on what. Like. Succession's HBO, Sons of Anarchy is AMC, Ozark, where was it? I don't remember. Netflix?
Yeah, that was just a Netflix original.
But seriously, you got like eight different places you're watching this stuff, and you forget who's on what. Who's on first? What else you got?
This past week, one of my probably favorite actors growing up, it's the anniversary of his death, Robin Williams, man. I still can't believe sometimes that he's gone.
No.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people can't.
That Lewy body syndrome that just made him, it's just a very rough form of dementia that made him take his own life.
My dad had Lewy body. Most people never heard of Lewy body.
No, they don't. It's very rare.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it's more rare than Alzheimer's, but just put it this way. There's dementia, and then there's the next level, Lewy body, and right above that is Alzheimer's. Lewy body is pretty much as bad as Alzheimer's. It's bad.
And really, nobody knew he had it until he was gone, and There's a lot of good movies of his. I mean, you know, Dead Poets Society, Good Morning Vietnam. I love him in Good Will Hunting, where he played Matt Damon's therapist.
Name me one other actor who is as funny as Robin Williams and who is as effective as a serious dramatic actor.
Somebody who can come close is Jim Carrey in The Majestic and Truman Show, maybe, and Man on the Moon. But he's not caliber.
He's not quite there.
But he tries, though. I mean, he's kind of a lesser
version. I can't think of anybody who is as good at being dramatic and serious or just fall down fun.
Just watch where he played the bad guy in Insomnia against Al Pacino when they're up in Alaska and it's light 24/7 and he's testing Pacino's detective and he plays this cold-blooded killer.
Didn't Robin Williams play another one where he was actually like full-on bad guy?
One hour photo.
Yeah, one hour photo.
Oh my goodness,
Gary,
he was the creepiest
that one shocked me. And then he goes and plays a doctor in Patch Adams.
Right.
You know?
So did he leave a note? I mean, it's still a mystery. Look, it's one thing to be told you have Parkinson's or Lewy body, but to kill yourself over it, there has to be more.
One of the bittersweet things about since his death is his wife has been very candid about that. She's not surprised that he did it. She knew that he was suffering. She knew that he was still working and he was dealing with that condition. And no, she acts, what I've gotten from her interviews is that she knew something was coming. And it's so sweet that he came into her room and said goodbye and said, honey, do you need anything? And then he went in the other room. She didn't know he was going to do it that night, but I think she knew what he was dealing with, that there was no cure. Essentially, you're just fighting yourself.
But thousands of people are told they have ALS or they have problems. They don't kill themselves because of it.
I mean,
and I'm sorry, I'm not judging.
No, you're not.
But think of the good. Think of what he could have done. Look what Michael J. Fox has done for Parkinson's people. And for the whole Parkinson's effort.
But see, I will say that dementia is just a different beast than Parkinson's. Dementia, you're almost fighting yourself because it's paranoia. It's your nerves getting mixed up with your brain. Your brain's essentially what a doctor called Louis Body. He said it's kind of like your brain has terrorists in it. And it's sending you the wrong messages, and it is destroying your well-being to where you can't really ever find yourself again. I mean, there's a certain thing that he had where he was just constantly fighting himself and tearing himself apart to where his wife, in interviews, multiple ones, she said she's not surprised. She's not mad at him for what he did.
And did he have suffer from depression as well?
Yes, depression, severe.
And
depression.
He had been a coke user. I mean, yes. He'd been through a lot of. He'd had a lot of stuff, but I don't know. We'll never know. It's not my place to judge. You know, I was brought up to believe you commit suicide, you're going to hell, which is a ridiculous thing to teach a kid.
Yeah.
Because when somebody is mentally unstable, they're not in their right mind. I don't believe for a second that God is going to go, you killed yourself?
You're done.
You can't get into heaven. Yeah. Go to hell. No,
close the doors.
I don't believe that. But that's what I was told.
Hey, someone just called and said John Goodman is going to have an HBO series.
Yes.
Righteous Gemstones?
Yeah, him and Danny McBride and another actor. Yeah, they play this crazy religious, almost like criminal family.
Now, does he know what we talked about with regard to John Goodman late last week? Was it on his segment that it happened?
Yes, last year. And I believe
I got an email about it. It said that could have been him talking about Cohen's and Cohen Terry.
We listened back to the segment.
I went back and listened, and I think it was him.
I think so, too.
Because think about it. One, you can hear it in his voice. Two, he has called this show numerous times before, a couple of times as himself, but others as other people. So factor that in, plus the fact that he called for initially what? It was to ask
He wanted to ask me career-wise, Cohen's
versus
Tarantino.
Versus
and
Tarantino.
Him being in several Coen brother movies, I think.
Exactly.
Well, when I answered Tarantino, he was like, yeah, really?
And then he said, well, I personally think John Goodman should have gotten the Academy Award for his performance in The Big Lebowski.
And it's funny.
It was him.
For me, it was just the laugh.
It was, yeah, the laugh.
When we talked about his son being in the industry, and he's like, John, that's you, man.
All right, here's the other reason I think
Walter Subject.
Here's the other reason I think it was him. And when I say this, I don't want it to come off like, I've got a cell phone number. But I do. And I never abuse it. Either texted or called him maybe once a year. So I did shoot him a text. And I just said, John, settle this. I said, everybody thinks, or at least lots of people, that you called in as George on the Dan Buffett segment. We just did you. And the fact that I have never, ever had him not respond. He didn't respond. And I'm going to say, that tells me, because he doesn't want to lie.
He doesn't want to give it away.
He doesn't want to give it away, and he doesn't want to lie about it. So those are your two choices. He didn't answer.
So we had Walter from The Big Lebowski calling to the show.
I believe we did. I do.
So, John, we just promoted your new series coming up.
Yeah, the least you could do is call and fess up that you're George.
Yeah, it's called The Righteous Gemstones on August 18th on Sunday after Succession. Good spot for it. It is a
televangelist?
How do you say this?
Televangelist.
Televangelist. Family with a long tradition.
How do you get a vagina out of that?
Wow. I have a dirty mind.
Most of them usually turn into that, though.
It's a good one.
Yeah, right.
But Danny McBride, he's in it, and he actually wrote and directed
the series. When does it start?
Well, August 18th.
Wow, it's coming up.
Danny McBride, that's Eastbound and Down, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He normally does comedy.
Yeah.
All right, give me the name of it again.
It is The Righteous Gemstones.
Huh.
It looks like a religious yet criminal family.
So it's not a comedy.
It is listed as a comedy on IMDb.
Oh.
So yeah, that's good though. You'll have the drama and Succession, and you'll move over to the comedy. It looks like a Big Lebowski type world because you have this family where that they have this business, but they're obviously operating in criminal ways off of it. He's got two sons that are both kind of idiots. Danny McBride, and I want to say what is it's a young actor's name. He's been on a lot of stuff.
So it's his series. He's the star.
Danny McBride, no, yes. No, Goodman. Goodman, yeah. He is the star. Okay. And Danny McBride, who co-stars in it, created it, wrote it, and directed it.
Someone else called and said that another actor that could do comedy and serious acting is John Lithgow.
No, not even close to Robin Williams. John Lithgow has never been as funny as Robin
Williams. Third Rock from the Sun, he was pretty funny.
On
which one?
Third Rock from the Sun, he was hilarious.
No, you cannot put John Lithgow.
I'm not saying you can compare, but he was very good.
Well, there are a lot of actors who can do comedy and drama, but I mean, to the degree Robin Williams could be funny and serious.
I have a question. What is a televangelist? Well, what is that?
It's an evangelist who uses television to preach the gospel and raise a lot of money.
They must have a straight looking company, but obviously they're
Jimmy Swaggart or any of these guys?
No.
Joel Osteen. No. Those are all televangelists.
No, I'm young.
Joel Osteen. Yeah,
like Limey.
Yeah. You ever watched Joel Osteen?
I didn't know. I was asking honestly.
Have you ever watched? Have you ever watched? You don't watch any of the televangelists?
No.
You're missing some of the greatest comedy on TV.
Really?
You got to watch Benny. You got
to
watch Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn or Ken Copeland put their hands on people's foreheads and knock them backwards and tell them they don't have cancer
using
anymore.
Television as a I like that.
Steve Martin played a televangelist in a movie. I can't think of the name of it though.
Is it Leap Up?
Leap of Faith.
Great.
Leap of Faith. He's a televangelist.
Listen, when you don't have anything to do, watch either Benny Hinn or Ken Cope. I'm serious. And when they push somebody backwards that had cancer and now you don't have cancer, it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious.
See, now that you mention it, Dan, that movie was hilarious. Yeah. He did the same thing. He had his tent out in Texas and he would touch their head. He'd push them down to the ground. You're healed.
But that's what they actually do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's great.
This is prime territory. It's actually a perfect role for John Goodman. Have you seen the trailer?
No.
Well, when you watch Succession.
I've never heard of it to you.
When you watch Succession, the trailer will play before, but it's going to be coming on, I want to say, this Sunday it premieres. So there you go. It's a good spot for it.
That's it. I have nothing else except that I'm still really surprised that two things haven't changed, and one is that they didn't work something out with Dish so HBO could
they
be
have
on
not,
and that they haven't brought Channel 4 back up yet. That's surprising.
It's been 3 weeks now.
Well, look, and they do it with 2, and they do it with 5.
Right.
There's no way they're charging 4 an exorbitant amount above and beyond what they're charging 2 and 3. Why can't 4 just come and go, okay, we'll pay what everybody else is paying?
And so one more thing
it's hurting both of them. It's hurting Dish,
it's
hurting 4.
And, you know, usually if it lasts this long, it's probably going to stick. I don't see them coming
to
an agreement.
I've got to get a big reduction in my rate with Dish.
But one of the things that's coming into the news, Tarantino's new film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Bruce Lee's family doesn't like the way that he was depicted in the movie.
I read that.
You know what? I'll say this to everybody. It's a movie.
Yeah.
He has liberty. I mean, once again, Tarantino changed the ending. I mean, he changed the Sharon Tate murders. He changed what happened to Adolf Hitler. It's a movie. I would say that you have to understand that. And look, that's one of my favorite scenes where Brad Pitt's character doesn't like the way Bruce Lee's character is talking trash about Cassius Clay. He's saying that he can mop the floor, or he put him in the hospital. Yeah. And in real life, Bruce Lee's family said, well, he respected him.
Yeah,
well,
but in their defense, it's not a fictitious character. It's their dad or uncle or whatever, and they don't...
But it's in a fictitious story, though. It's in a made-up story.
But there are a lot of people that walk away from, I didn't know Bruce Lee did that.
And really, he was kind of known as a trash talker.
Right.
He was that way. So maybe he did say it and didn't tell his family.
And I've never been to a Bruce Lee movie because when you see, to me, if you see one scene, that's it. I've just seen, that's all I wanted to see anyway. I'm done.
The only movie that can come close to like Bruce Lee is The Raid. And those action scenes are so intense and they're hyper-kinetic and they're crazy.
Hey, whatever happened to Steven Seagal?
Steven Seagal releases a direct-to-DVD movie about once every month. And he weighs about 345 pounds.
He's huge. Became a cop. And then that failed. So
if you go,
he's kind of a laughing stock in the business.
If you go to Walmart, you will see the $5 bin full of Dolph Lundgren movies and Steven Seagal movies, like Last Bullet.
What's funny to me is he takes himself so seriously.
He does.
Yet he's a joke.
He should have been
a lot
in the kitchen.
Of people.
He should have been in the kitchen. He would have fit perfectly into that.
I walked by that bin in Walmart in Eureka the other day. All Bill Clevland's books were in there too.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah, that's Stevenson. He's in there.
That was Cam, not us.
You know what? Tim Woodburn just gave me a good idea.
Bill didn't hear it.
He gave me a good idea for a buddy comedy. Bill Cleveland and Steven Seagal. The Buddha and the Traveler.
Yeah. And there's always been a question about just how proficient is he really in the martial arts? Like he's not considered by the real. He's a joke.
He's no Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. I mean, that's a martial arts supreme right there.
He basically rips out the guy's heart with his bare hand. Do that, Steven Seagal. He
puts it in a bag to go.
The funny thing was on AMC where he was in that New Orleans Sheriff's Department.
I think so.
Volunteering Steven Seagal. It's funny. He was good and out for justice and above the law, but somewhere along the line, he just lost his way, got really serious, got into trouble with the mob, and of course, with the law. And I don't know.
What about Chuck Norris? Is the real deal. He actually can.
Yeah, he's the real deal. He just kind of retired. He just said the heck with it.
He got to be 80 years old.
Yeah. The last movie
he can still move, though.
The last movie I saw him in was, I think, Expendables 3.
Yes,
he did a little cameo in that. He just shows up, walks out of an elevator.
He's Chuck Norris.
Unloads with a machine gun, and that's it.
You know who, and this will surprise you maybe, who knows karate and has practiced it for a while? Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Now, really? I don't visualize Willie Nelson lifting his leg to kick anybody.
Expendables 4. It's going to be Willie Nelson coming out of a helicopter, high as a kite with the big leg kick.
Is anybody going to go and see the new Rambo movie?
I'm going to see it because Stallone is doing it.
I talked to Sylvester Stallone about this movie. He's nervous. He's nervous, afraid nobody will come, that they've overplayed the Rambo card. I can play you a little bit of it.
Please, I want
to
hear this.
Because he basically is begging people to come see the movie. I'll start it where I had just asked him. This was by satellite. I said, Sly, you got another Rambo movie coming out. Are you nervous at all? Here's what he said.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm older now, you know, a little nervous, you know, I want some people to come and show them, put a bunch of the seats and stuff, you know, I said, hey.
Yeah, see?
What did he say?
It was basically, come see my movie.
By the way, we took it, Ron Perlman. There's a guy, Stallone. He is not handsome.
He was when he was young.
Twisted, his nose, mouth are all kind of crooked. He's a weird-looking guy.
Hey, I will watch it because...
You know, Adrian...
Oh, turn his mic on.
It looks like an unapologetic action film, and I'm a Stallone honk, so I'll see it. It's basically old Sly as Rambo killing bad guys. I'm always up for that.
Okay.
Comes out in September. I don't think it's a must-see, but I think if you're... It does have the Last Blood. The first one was called First Blood. This one's called Rambo Last Blood. And it supposedly wraps up the series. But then he could do another one when he's 95.
You know what would be funny? If he was running through the jungle or something like that and he broke a hip.
Yeah, that's a good one. Rambo. You know how to end this. I'll be back next week.
I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of it.
Okay. There you go. Thank you, Dan. Dan Buffa, courtesy of Window World. The number one selling replacement window in the United States. And that's a fact, and there are a lot of reasons for that. Go to windowworldst.louis.com. Our yard sale on Saturday, 7 to 9 o'clock, is sponsored exclusively by First Community Credit Union. It's important that you know that, because this is the original yard sale. This is the only yard sale, I'm going to bet, in the country where we've sold an airplane and a watch for $4,000, and I was thinking today, I wonder what is the least expensive thing. Dan, do you have any idea? Dan, join us, please. Do you have any idea what was the least expensive thing ever sold on the yard sale?
Oh, man.
The most was the plane, the airplane.
I think it was lunch with Dan.
Oh, see, no. Boy, you are on the attack. He's in attack mode.
You're on fire today.
On attack. That would be interesting to try to find out what's the least expensive. My point is this. Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock, what do you got going? A cup of coffee going, and listen to the yard sale. It's entertaining. People actually get rid of things that are still good that they don't need anymore, and somebody else is able to find something they were looking for.
You know, the least expensive thing we did sell on the yard sale was Tim's book.
See, no, that's too easy. All you're doing is throwing him back what he already threw you. That doesn't work. Too easy, lazy. That's lazy. That's a lazy response, lazy revenge.
Fight his own battles, Dan.
And the sponsor is the place where, in our house, we do all our banking there. My sons have done banking business and still do, I think. Yeah, still do there. First Community Credit Union, it is a banking facility, okay, with over 40 locations. Not just a credit union, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. And how does somebody become number one? In this case, you do it with the way you treat the customers and how competitive you are with your rates and how many services you offer, not just for personal banking, but small businesses. They love partnering with small business. Their First Community Credit Union. And I would, I'd like for you to at least think about getting to know who they are and what they do and get everything out of your bank, close the accounts, and come on over and join us. Put all your banking business with First Community Credit Union. You can find out everything you need to know at firstcommunity.com. Well, I'm excited, and I hope you are too, because the Playhouse is coming up after the news. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is KM Jans, and you're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Police in Dayton, Ohio are laying out a new timeline of the mass shooting 2 weeks ago. They say gunman Connor Betts arrived at the entertainment district with his sister and a friend, but it's unclear if he shot both on purpose. Dayton Police Chief Richard Beal.
Including the homicide detectives who are deeply immersed in this, we have radically different views in that regard.